Our first question comes from Jeffrey Harris, 411mania.com, MMA.
Thank you all for joining us today. Just wanted to thank you all. This, you were not originally scheduled to be fighting on this card, so thank you all for stepping up and coming forth to fight on this awesome-looking card now. First up, for Dave Herman, you're down two fights now, but here you are getting a chance to fight one of the most respected and decorated MMA fighters of all time. What do you think about fighting Nogueira in Brazil? And are you going in?
I'm really excited about it. You know, he's fought a lot of big names, but, you know, pretty much everyone. But
Hello, Dave?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't catch the tail end of your answer there.
But he's fought a lot of big names, and I'm supposed to see how I match up with him.
For Minotauro, how eager were you coming off your last fight to fight again in your home country?
Rodrigo, você estava animado para saindo dessa última luta para poder lutar de novo aí no Brasil? Do we still have him on the line?
Hello? All right,
everyone, this is the operator. It appears he did disconnect.
Okay. I'll just go ahead and ask Stefan. Stefan, this is without a doubt the biggest fight of your career. I know there's some issues with your wife expecting. Just how are you feeling right now emotionally with all that going around? You know, biggest fight of your career and also the birth of your first child.
I'm actually juggling the training and the baby stuff pretty good. It's all this media stuff that really keeps me about to go postal. Just being honest with you. I mean, I've usually trained for a fight for 3 months, and I'm crunching that into 3 weeks, and at the same time, just doing an ungodly amount of media stuff. So, yeah, last night I was on the verge of going postal.
All right, thank you.
Here.
Up next, we'll take a question from Kevin Ayle, Yahoo Sports.
Hi, thank you. I guess I have a suggestion for Stefan Bonner. If you go postal, Stefan, go postal on Anderson Silva, not on any of us.
I'll try really hard to hold out for another week, Kevin.
There you go, buddy. My first question is for Anderson. Anderson, I wanted to ask you, Tom Brady, the quarterback for the New England Patriots, had some interesting comments that I wanted to get see if they relate to you. And one thing that he said is that my mind never allows me to rest. I play with the chip on my shoulder, and I have some deep scars from my ever healed. That's what makes me the player I am. And I wonder if you fight with a chip on your shoulder and that whether you feel your mind never allows you to rest.
O Anderson, ele falou que tem comentário essa semana do quarterback do Patriots, aqui do futebol americano, que o Tom Brady falou que a cabeça dele nunca fica relaxada e que ele tem muito peso nas costas dele, então ele tem muitas cicatrizes de guerra, que é isso que faz ele querer sempre inovar e sempre estar no topo do jogo. Você acha que isso é parte da estratégia também da tua cabeça para entrar na luta?
Minha estratégia de luta é basicamente fazer o que eu venho fazendo sempre, né? Em todas as minhas lutas, não mudar muito o que eu venho fazendo. É manter o meu foco e fazer o que eu nasci para fazer, que é ser criativo e técnico o suficiente para poder lutar.
The main thing for me stepping into the fight and every fight is basically to keep my mind at ease and clear out of everything else to be able to do what it is that I do best. I mean, I want to go in there and be able to be as creative and technical as I can, and I want to keep doing what it is that I was born to do.
Well,
Anderson, can you put your finger on the difference in you over the last 6 years since you've been in the UFC compared to what you were when you were in Cage Rage and Pride and whatnot? You know, you were a very good fighter then. Most people now consider you the best of all time. What is the difference in your mind between pre-UFC Anderson Silva and post-UFC Anderson Silva?
O que você acha que as diferenças de você antes de entrar no UFC e você hoje em dia? Claro que na época do Pride, o Cage Rage era um grande lutador, mas considerado o melhor de todos. Qual que você vê que são as maiores diferenças?
Para mim, todos eles tiveram uma grande importância lá no UFC, né? Antes de chegar a ser campeão do UFC, o primeiro título mundial foi o meu chefe, o campeão. Mundial de 2001, né? Defendendo o cinturão, ganhando o cinturão do Ayato Sakurai no Shoto. E os outros elementos vieram para me ajudar a fortalecer uma habilidade natural que eu tenho. E isso serviu de base para que eu chegasse bem no UFC.
He said, you know, all of his fights and all the events had huge importance in his career. You know, he was the first champion at Shuto in 2001 and then went on to Pride and then on to Cage Rage. So everything that he's gone through and all the promotions he's gone through and all the fights have built up to a very strong base for him to be able to join the UFC and build himself to where he's at today.
Thank you. And I have two other short questions, if I might. Anderson, one other one is, I heard that you had a drill that you did at some point in your career, and I don't know if you still do it now, where you threw a ball at the wall and then had your head move to mimic missing punches. Do you still do that? And if so, how did you come up with that idea to work on that?
Fala daquele treino que você faz quando joga uma bola e você tem que esquivar. Como é que você bolou aquele treino e como é que é feito?
Na verdade é um treino assim que eu já, assim, uma das coisas que eu gosto de fazer é sempre estar criando, né? E a gente resolveu criar aquele movimento e é um treino que eu já faço há muitos anos, desde que eu treinava capoeira, assim, já fazia treino há muito tempo. E é uma coisa que me ajuda no meu reflexo, ajuda... na resposta rápida que eu preciso muitas vezes dentro da luta, entendeu?
He said he's always trying to create new things and create new ways to improve himself. So that's one of the training regimens that he started back when he's still training capoeira, and it's something that he believes helps his reflexes, his quick response, and something he can really take into the octagon.
Okay. And then finally, Anderson, you opened up as a 14-1 favorite, which is, if not the biggest favorite in UFC history, one of them. And, you know, Stefan Bonner is a guy that's never been knocked out, has a black belt. Are you surprised by those odds, and do you think, or is there any concern on your part about overlooking Bonner, because of what the odds are?
Você abriu nessa luta como um favorito 14 vezes superior ao Bonner, que talvez é um recorde do UFC, mas ele é um cara que nunca foi finalizado, nunca foi nocauteado. Tem aquela certa pressão do cara estar sendo um pouco menosprezado?
Para mim, Stefan Bonner é um grande atleta, é um cara que faz parte da história do UFC, e tem os seus valores dentro do UFC, e é um cara que é perigoso, é um cara que é bom em pé, bom no chão, tem um bom wrestling, tem uma boa defesa de queda, é um cara completo. E tem que estar, para você ser um atleta do UFC, você tem que estar sempre bem treinado, você tem que estar sempre bem preparado para qualquer situação, entendeu? Então, a minha opinião é que qualquer cara que venha lutar, né, no UFC com qualquer outro adversário não pode ter na cabeça dele menosprezar algum adversário ou coisa parecida, porque ele pode ser finalizado ou até mesmo nocauteado. Essa é a minha opinião.
He said his opinion on Stephen Bonner. I mean, he's a great athlete, part of the history of the UFC, has a ton of value in the UFC. He's a very dangerous guy. He's good on his feet. He's got good groundwork, good wrestling. He's got good takedown defense. So, you know, really anyone has to be very well trained to beat the UFC, and you can't take anyone lightly in there because anything can happen, and you can get submitted or knocked out at any time.
Thank you, guys.
Up next is Franklin McNeil, ESPN.
Was it the second time within about a month that you stepped in to help UFC save a card? And I want to know, as champion, obviously, there's a responsibility to represent the belt in a certain way, but you've gone beyond that, and I'd like to know, do you see yourself as a champion who has a responsibility to the UFC beyond just being their champion, and is that why you stepped in to take off yourself for these fights?
Anderson, ele está perguntando, que ele falou como campeão, claro, você tem sempre a responsabilidade de defender o seu título, mas você acha que, já tendo feito isso várias vezes, você se sente quase na responsabilidade de fazer como você fez agora, de vir e defender o UFC também no momento que eles precisam?
Claro, eu me sinto na responsabilidade e como parte da família do UFC, eu acredito muito que não só eu, mas como todos os outros atletas, a gente pode ajudar a gente continuar o show, a ter um show bacana, principalmente quando é um show como esse, que poderia ter sido cancelado. Eu acho que é a importância de nós termos essa consciência de que nós podemos ajudar o evento é muito bacana, entendeu? Eu tenho essa consciência, eu acho que eu estou fazendo a minha parte. Logicamente, se eu não pudesse fazer, eu não faria. Não ia colocar nada em risco, entendeu? De repente, eu não achasse que tivesse condições, minha equipe toda não achasse que tivesse condições.
Definitely, you know, he's got that responsibility on his back. He's part of the UFC family, and he believes that everyone can do what they can do to help. It was a case in which the event might have been canceled, and he's just doing his part. If he felt that he couldn't do that, or his team, everyone came together and said that he wasn't in a condition to do that, he wouldn't have done it. But in the situation, he felt like he stepped up and saved the show and avoided from being canceled.
And I want to ask him about doing this, being part of the UFC family, but he's also a family man himself. Is this in some ways showing responsibility and commitment and allegiance or loyalty to his children? Is he giving them an example of giving back to those that who have helped him in some way?
E você, claro que não é só um homem da família do UFC, você é um homem de família, tem seus filhos e tudo mais, e você sente que você está passando um ensinamento para os seus filhos, mostrando como ser leal, como ter honra, e nesses momentos você realmente mostra o valor de uma família, das associações.
Eu acho que você tem que estar sempre passando para os seus filhos valores morais, valores éticos, né? Eu não sou perfeito, estou longe de ser perfeito, mas eu procuro sempre fazer o meu melhor, ser melhor do que eu sou todos os dias. E eu acho que também essa atitude foi uma forma de mostrar o quanto eu estou tentando ser melhor todos os dias, é isso.
He said, I believe that you always got a past and a feeling of ethics and a way to carry themselves through life. And I'm definitely not perfect, but I try my best. And this is the way that I show that I've always been trying to improve myself. It's a way for them to see that I'm always trying to get better.
And my last question is for Stephan. Stephan, the last time we talked, one of the issues that you raised was having to cut the weight, you know, really in a really relatively short time, and you were enthusiastic about going through this process, though you knew it would be difficult. I want to know, how are you doing? How is the weight cut going, and how are you feeling?
You know, I really don't believe I ever said that weight would be any trouble. That wasn't never really a concern for me. Making weight's always been easy. The concern was, from pretty much coming out of retirement, to getting in good enough shape in that short amount of time. So, and yeah, I've been trying as hard as I can, and I feel like I'm in good enough shape to fight three rounds.
Okay, thanks, Stephan. You guys take care.
Thanks, Franklin.
AJ Perez, FoxSports.com.
Hey, AJ, before you get started, I want to let everybody know that Minotauro is back on the line if you have a question for him.
No, this is actually for Silva. I know Stephan just addressed it. Three rounds versus five, I just want to see what Silva thinks of just being a three-round fight, even though it's a main event.
Então, como é que é lutar numa luta de três rounds em vez de cinco, mesmo sendo main event, são dois rounds a menos que você está acostumado?
Eu acho que cada luta é uma luta, né? A gente preparando para fazer essa luta de três rounds, assim, fazer bem, né? Independente de vitória ou derrota, a gente está se preparando para fazer esses três rounds bem feitos, de uma forma que o público goste de ver a performance, mesmo não sendo a minha categoria. E eu acho que cada luta é uma luta, né? Eu acho que nós, todos os atletas da UFC, temos que estar preparados para lutar 5, 3, 4, 1, 10 rounds. A gente tem que estar preparado. E eu estou me preparando para lutar os 3 rounds.
He said every fight's a fight, and no matter 3 or 5 rounds, I mean, I'm training the best that I can to put on a great show. Win or lose, I want to put on a great performance for the fans. And I don't know how long it'll take to complete this fight, but no matter how long, every UFC fighter should be ready to fight either 1, 3, 4, 5 rounds, how many rounds it may take.
Thank you.
Our next question is Luis Montes, UOL.
Anderson. Luiz do UOL, a minha pergunta, eu queria saber, o Dana White falou hoje que o Stephan Bonner é talvez o seu maior desafio na sua carreira. Você chegou a ver essa declaração e como você encara essa posição do Dana White em relação a você? Ele acha que o Bonner está preparado para ganhar de você?
Como eu já havia dito, né? Todos os atletas que estão na UFC estão preparados para serem campeões e para vencerem, né? Nós temos os melhores lutadores do mundo hoje, são do UFC. E para mim, lutar com o Stephan Bonner é uma honra, entendeu? E é claro que qualquer um pode ser vencido por ele. Ele é um grande campeão e tem todas as condições para vencer não só a mim, mas qualquer outro atleta que vá lutar contra ele. Eu estou me preparando, estou treinando forte, sei que é um grande desafio, um desafio que vai exigir muito de mim e espero fazer uma boa luta. É uma luta que eu devo para o público brasileiro e aceitei também justamente por isso, por dever isso ao público brasileiro, para responder todo o carinho que o público brasileiro me deu na minha última luta.
So, the question was... I guess Dana said something, Bonner is the biggest challenge in Anderson's career. And Anderson's response to that was, as he's been saying, everyone in the UFC is prepared to be a great champion. Everyone's prepared to win with the greatest fighters in the world. And Stephan Bonner is an honor to be fighting him. He's a great champion. He's done a lot in his career. And it's definitely going to be a great challenge. I feel like I'm prepared, but I also wanted to step up and take this fight because I wanted to give back to all my Brazilian fans who have supported me in the past few fights, but it's definitely a great challenge to face Stephan Bonner.
Up next is Reed Forgrave, FoxSports.com.
I get, actually got two questions. First one for Anderson. I'm curious, you know, known as the greatest UFC fighter of all time, what does this fight mean for your legacy? What is the risk and reward here?
Pô, Anderson, muita gente fala que você é o melhor lutador de todos os tempos. Você acha que essa luta é, quer dizer, no seu legado, no que você vai deixar para trás na sua carreira?
Eu acredito que é uma luta que vai entrar no meu currículo como uma das lutas mais históricas do MMA e da minha carreira. Lutar com um cara como o Stephen Warner, para mim é uma honra muito grande. E fiquei muito honrado e feliz de ele ter aceitado a luta nas mesmas condições que eu. Treinando para uma luta normal, como seria normalmente, né? E estou muito feliz e acredito que essa luta vai alavancar um pouco mais, não só a minha carreira, mas a carreira do Stephen Bourne também. Acho que é aquela coisa de um dia as pessoas ligarem a televisão e ficar lutando, Bourne tem que estar.
Answer was, I believe this is going to be one of the biggest fights in UFC and in my career. I'm very honored and happy for him to have accepted this fight in the same conditions, not having so much time to train and all. And he believes this fight's going to really make both of the guys' careers take off. And it's one of those things that people are going to turn on the TV and see the UFC champion fighting a guy who's got one of the longest histories in the UFC as well.
My second question was also for Anderson as well as for Stephen. I was hoping each of you could discuss Brazil and the importance of Brazil in mixed martial arts growth into this mainstream sport.
Anderson, qual você acha que é a importância do Brasil hoje no cenário do MMA mundial?
Eu acho fundamental e acho super, super importante que as pessoas conheçam e entendam o valor que o Brasil tem, porque o Brasil tem acho que os melhores atletas da modalidade. Nós temos muito material humano, grandes atletas aqui no Brasil, e é um país que tem tradição em luta, né? Não menosprezando os outros países, como Inglaterra, Japão, que tem grande tradição na luta, Estados Unidos também. Mas, cara, nós temos um legado dentro da luta, né?
He said, I believe it's really important for everyone to realize the value of Brazil and all our athletes in the MMA scene today. I mean, we have some of the best athletes in the world fighting in MMA. And it's important. I mean, I'm not putting down all the other countries, the Americans, the Japanese, Canadians, the British. Everyone's got great fighters, but Brazil seems to have a very strong tradition in MMA and some highly capable athletes.
Stephen, I know you trained under Carlson Gracie. I wondered if you did discuss Brazil before as well. Stephen, I was hoping you could also discuss the importance of Brazil in mixed martial arts becoming a mainstream sport.
I spent the first half of my career with Carlson Gracie, who has been an associate. You know, he's kind of like a father figure. And after he passed, I've done with Sergio Pena the second half of my career. And I kind of feel the same way about him. I'm really close to him, and I feel like Brazil's a part of me, definitely a part of who I am as a fighter.
Thanks, guys.
Up next is Rodrigo Del Campo. La Ciudad.
Hi, everyone. First question is for Anderson. I know light heavyweight is better for you with a short notice, but if you do well in this fight, if you feel good in this weight, will you consider moving up to light heavyweight?
O Anderson, ele falou que ele entende que essa categoria de 93 quilos pode ser mais fácil para você bater o peso e tudo mais, mas com uma boa performance nessa luta, você considera mudar de categoria, subir?
Não tenho essa pretensão. É lógico que é uma coisa que já foi cogitada várias vezes, né? O Dana gostaria muito que eu subisse para lutar na categoria de cima, disputar o cinturão com o John Jones, mas eu não tenho essa intenção, até porque na minha equipe nós temos o Rafael Feijão, que é do peso do John Jones, temos o Rogério Minotoro, que é do peso do John Jones, e tem muitos outros atletas que da nossa equipe que tem peso do John Jones e que supostamente podem lutar com o John Jones. Então eu não tenho essa pretensão de lutar com ele e não tenho essa pretensão de subir de peso para lutar nessa categoria. Minha categoria é 84, eu tenho 37 anos e acho que tudo que eu construí foi muito baseado no pé no chão e ser firme nas minhas decisões em relação ao meu futuro. E isso é uma das coisas que eu não tenho pretensão de fazer e nem quero fazer.
He said, there's been always a lot of talks about me moving up to 205. I know Dana has talked about it a lot. All the fans have talked a lot about me moving up and facing John Jones, but it's something I never wanted. I won't be pretentious to say that I'd want to move up, especially because there's other guys in that weight class on our team, like Rafael Feijão and Mitoro Nogueira. There's other guys that could potentially face John Jones in the future. So, and you know, what got me this far is that I'm proud in my weight class is 185. I'm 37 years old, and I feel like I need to be honest to and continue what I've built, which is to keep defending my belt at 185.
Okay, and one question for Stefan. Stefan, you've had a long career. You started in the first The Ultimate Fighter when the UFC was just gaining wins and airtime on TV. You've been here for this explosion of MMA and UFC on media, and now are fighting in Brazil, where it's just nuts to see the fighters there. Are you surprised that after such a long career, this is your biggest fight?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Aren't your biggest fights supposed to come at the end of your career? I felt like I've been in some big fights on big stages, but of course the one that I had the big impact was that first fight with Suarez on a relatively small stage in terms of the stadium we fought in, and I mean it was a new show, but yeah, that ended up getting more attention than the big pay-per-view cards I fought on since then. So yeah, a chance to fight the greatest fighter pound for pound in the world in a place like Brazil is just crazy. It feels like I'm in a movie.
Okay, thank you everyone. Be safe.
Next up is Adam Martin, The Score.
Hey, my first question is for Dave Herman. Dave, you made some comments in the past saying that you don't think that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu works. I'm just curious if you stick by those comments. And you know, you're facing Minotaro, who's like one of the best in the world. So have you been training your BJJ for this fight? Is Dave there? Okay, I'm guessing Dave Herman's not on the line anymore.
Dave, are you still on?
He actually disconnected.
Okay, can I just ask Minotaro then? Dave made some comments saying that he doesn't believe BJJ works. What do you make of those comments he's made in the past?
Rodrigo, se você estiver na linha ainda, ele perguntou o que você acha dos comentários do Dave.
I get it. You know, everyone can whatever they want to, you know. My BJJ works very well, you know. I have like 33 wins in my career, like 20 of them are defeated by Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I know that works. I believe that works. You know, some of my last fights, I've been trying to strike more. But, You know, for this fight, especially, I train a lot of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. If I have a chance to think on the ground, I'll go for it. You know, I will try, you know, any submission or knockout. But especially for this fight, I'm training more my Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Minotauro, how are you feeling? You've been out for a long time, so are you 100% now?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm pretty strong in my arms. I have a better, my arm just broke in the last fight, but I feel totally recovered, stronger, and ready to go. You know, I was hungry to fight. I was asking UFC to fight in Brazil, and now I got a chance to be represented, you know, and fight in Brazil.
Minotauro, at this point in your career, I mean, the fight with Frank Mir, you lost the fight, but you were very close to winning it. So, I mean, do you still want to make another run for the title at this point?
Excuse me, can we repeat the question again, please? Sorry.
Sorry, yeah. Do you still want to make another title run at this point in your career?
And if I got a chance. But now, you know, Junior dos Santos, it's my body and my friend, and we train together, a partner and the trainers. So right now, again, you know, I don't like to fight, you know. But if I get a chance to fight another guys, and, you know, if he didn't have the title, for sure I will. But, you know, for a while, I feel like, you know, I'm not going to fight. You know, the guy's like my brother.
Okay, thank you, Minotauro. And just one more question for Ryan Grabb. Geronimo dos Santos pulled out of the card today. Is Gabriel Gonzaga going to get a replacement opponent for the undercard?
We actually haven't determined that yet.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question today, it's star 1 on your touchtone telephone. We'll go back to Luis Montes.
Minha pergunta para o Minotauro, eu queria saber dele como ele chega fisicamente para essa luta, se o curto tempo de preparação atrapalha em alguma coisa, se ele está 100% recuperado da lesão no braço.
Então, eu estou recuperado, estou treinando bem, né? Graças a Deus eu tenho um time muito bom de treino, né? Que é na nossa equipe lá da Tino Vieira, com o Anderson Silva, com todo o pessoal, Rafael Feijão, né, o meu irmão treinando. Então, eu tenho treinos fortes, isso com certeza me coloca sempre em teste, né, para estar lutando numa condição boa. Então, eu acredito que eu vou estar lutando bem, né, já vim de recuperação antes, mas eu puxo muito nos treinos. Então, se eu tiver condição de treinar bem, eu acho que eu posso lutar bem. Assim, eu não vou dar uma desculpa para minha luta de não poder lutar bem porque eu vim machucado. Vou fazer o meu melhor e vou lutar para vencer.
The question was, how is Nogueira physically for this fight with such short amount of time to train? Is he 100% healed from the injury? He says, I'm recovered. I have a very great team, very good training session, training with Rafael Feijão, Anderson Silva, Rogério Nogueira. And in training, I'm always being tested. So I believe that if I'm training well, then I will fight well.
Minotauro, na sua última luta contra o Frank Mir, quando você se machucou, você teve a oportunidade de vencer o combate naquela ocasião, né? Mas, não sei, a impressão que ficou foi que você queria finalizar no jiu-jitsu, sua especialidade. Nessa luta agora no UFC Rio, se tiver a oportunidade de nocautear, enfim, vai com tudo ou vai de novo pro jiu-jitsu?
Então, eu acho que ali foi um erro que eu aprendi, né? Eu tive a oportunidade de nocautear a luta e quis tentar finalizar, mas coisas assim, não sei, né? Coisa da luta, do momento da luta, perdi o momento do nocaute de partir para a finalização, certo? Mas eu sou um lutador, eu sou um striker que gosto do chão, não vou limitar, eu prefiro finalizar as lutas no chão, entendeu? Se eu tiver chance de finalizar a luta, vou participar da finalização, mas não trocaria o nocaute por uma finalização. Né? Acho que foi uma lição ali na última luta.
The question was, in the fight against Mir, he had the opportunity to knock him out and he decided to go up for a submission. If there is the same opportunity in this next fight, what's going to happen? Is he going to go for the KO? He says it was a mistake. I learned from that fight. I had the opportunity.
I don't know, it was spur of the moment. I decided to go for a submission. I am a striker. I like the submission game. I like the ground game a lot. I like submitting guys, but if I see an opportunity for a KO, I won't let it go.
Okay, thanks.
Next is Mike Chiapetta, MMAfighting.com.
Question for Stefan, please. As you mentioned, you were semi-retired at the time this opportunity came about, and you had said at the time that you weren't coming back except for a big fight against a big name. And I'm wondering, in your heart of hearts, did you feel like you were done, or did you have a feeling that you'd get that opportunity that you wanted?
I mean, no, it really came by surprise, honestly. I campaigned for some big fights, and I couldn't get them. So in my head, I was really trying to get over the whole fighting thing, yeah.
And what kind of communication were you having with them? I mean, were you like, talking to Joe Silva from time to time, and he was just saying, I have nothing for you, or what exactly?
No, really none. Really, yeah, I talked to Dana, and, we kind of had different viewpoints about how fighters should feel, and it looked like I wasn't getting any of the things I asked for. So, it was like, it was no big deal. It's like, if I'm not going to get the big fight, I have no problem not doing this. And that's how I felt.
What do you mean when you say you had different viewpoints about how fighters should feel?
He's all about guys being hungry for the title, and I've never been like that, really. I felt like no matter where I am on the fight card, I could steal the show and, have an impact on full fight, which I think I've done before. So I was just honest. I guess I could have lied to him and said I was really hungry for the title. Maybe I could have got that job coaching tough with Forrest. But I didn't, and told him how I really felt, and his viewpoint is like, what's the point of a guy just hanging around the division? And doesn't make sense. If you're not going for the title, you should hang it up. And I was like, I kind of like hanging around the division and just going in there and fighting people and winning and doing my best. And it's just a challenge, That's how I always felt about fighting. Yeah. I just did it for fun, not really for any belts. And now I'm fighting, the greatest pound-for-pound guy who's been a champion for a long time, and it's not for a belt. And you think if I pull off an upset against Anderson Silva, it's not going to be as sweet because it's not for a belt? Hell no. I mean, it's going to be the greatest moment of my life.
And what do you think, I mean, win or lose, what do you think your future would be after this? I mean, because obviously you're going to have the same attitude and how you look at your career, and Dana's going to still have his same attitude. So what do you think will come of it, after this fight?
Well, I mean, a win over Anderson, I'm sure, would get me a pretty big fight. So, but yeah, if I go out and get destroyed, it probably won't. So, yeah, there's your answer.
Okay, and finally, what training were you doing when you got this call? Since you were semi-retired, I mean, I remember seeing pictures of you training with Batista and things like that. How seriously were you training at the time you got the call?
No. It's funny, things worked out pretty good because I hadn't been in the gym in months, and I got the call to help train Batista for a couple weeks, so I thought, I might as well get off my ass and go hit pads and roll a little so I'm not a complete turd when I get there. Thank God I did that, and at the end of the second week there with Batista, I got the call. But at least I put in a couple weeks of doing, getting the rust off, so that helped.
All right, cool. Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate the time. Good luck.
From Yahoo Sports, Kevin Ioli is up next.
Stefan, a question for you. There's a lot been made about, Anderson being the favorite and everything. I know you just referenced it will be a huge win for you if you win it. Would there be any extra satisfaction if you were able to pull it off with so many people, dissing your chances and dissing your skills?
Yeah, that makes it all the more sweet. I enjoy reading the negative tweets, how I don't stand a chance, because, I pull it off, and those people's jaws are going to drop the widest.
And then, secondly, how do we see, as the fight is going on, how does the fight go your way? What is the key thing for you in this fight to, hang in there and be able to get a victory from Anderson?
Yeah, I really can't discuss that, but, you know, he let's just look at it what it is. He's really great, accurate striker, and I'm not going to out-finesse him. So, I got to make it a little uglier and be aggressive and be able to eat a punch to land a punch. That's about as much as I want to give on that.
Okay, and then lastly, is there any difference in him that you can see fighting at age a lot, but at 205, but him at 205 compared to 185, is there an issue of quickness that may be different that, you know, might make a difference in the fight?
Well, his other two fights at 205, he still looked very fast, and he performed flawlessly.
Thank you, guys.
We have time for one more question today. It comes from Heidi Fang, MMA Fight Corner.
Great. Hello. My first question is for Big Nog. You actually were supposed to fight at UFC 149 against Chuck Congo, but then your arm wasn't fully recovered properly. What was it that had happened in training, and is that all cleared up now?
Yeah, you know, I was very disappointed because I couldn't take the fight in July. I was feeling ready to go when I set this fight. I had like 2 months and a half for training. And in the last month, you know, I was just start to do a very specific training and kicks. You got a good left leg kick, high kick in the ribs too. So I was blocked along with my broken arm. And I felt I was recovering, but after, you know, 1 month training and getting all those kicks, you know, my sparring partners, they're all heavyweights, and those guys kick, you know, very strong. So I was feeling, you know, I was feeling pain in my arm, and I thought that, you know, if I was keeping training in the camp, I was going to have anything seriously, you know, and it will affect my career in the future. So that's why, you know, I came out with my training camp partners and trainers and my doctor and physical therapist, and we decided to just cancel the date, you know, and now I'm ready to go. I didn't feel anything seriously in my arms. And you know, now I'm ready to go. I just needed to wait a little bit more time. And I feel sorry, you know, I couldn't take this fight. I feel, you know, I have a lot of respect for Jake and the Canadian fans, but I couldn't be able to fight. But now we're gonna fight in Brazil, and it would be the honor for me to fight in Rio de Janeiro, but it's my hometown, so we're gonna have a lot of fans in our side.
And just one last question for Stefan. You had said that you had wanted to fight again opposite of Forrest, maybe in a rubber match. Do you think that you will get that coaching gig now that you've taken this fight and be able to coach the next season at Taos opposite Forrest and maybe have that rubber match?
It all depends how I do. Yeah, I got to do good. If I do good, then I'll probably get rewarded for something.
And that's all the time we have for questions. I'll turn the call back over to our speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you very much. I want to thank the fighters for jumping on the call today, as well as the media, and Derek for translating. Got a programming note for tomorrow. UFC on FX, Brown versus Bigfoot, where at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, with a tape delay on the West Coast. FX prelims are live at 5 Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, and the Facebook prelims are live at 4 Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. And then immediately following Brown versus Bigfoot, Open Fighter Fridays will air at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific.